You'll allow me another reading, Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 16. Paul the Apostle, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he will give gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth. He who descends is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. May the word of God be a blessing as we break it together. O Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be found pleasing unto you. And Father, may you, by your Spirit, use these words to strengthen and to conform us in our faith, to conform us evermore into the image and the likeness of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and our Savior, in whose name we now pray. Amen. Well, good morning to you. I bring you greetings from Christ Church in Searcy, Arkansas. From the saints there, I bring you greetings from a pastor at the CREC Church in Jonesboro, Arkansas, who is filling in for me today, who also asked that I would extend the greetings from your sister's church there in Jonesboro, Arkansas. And so Arkansas says hello. I bring you greetings from the saints of the Wycliffe Presbytery as well. It is a blessing and an honor to serve you this day. It is a blessing and honor to stand before you and to share in God's Word with you this day as well. I am saddened that Pastor Neil cannot be with us this day. It's always something that I look forward to, the time of opportunity to fellowship with Pastor Neil. And I'm thankful, though, for the Lord's providence in how things have worked out and arranged that though he is ill, that we may share together and that we may feast before the Lord together in this way. And so we've looked at Ephesians chapter 4, and that's really the reason that we're gathered together. I've given you greetings. I've given you a few things. Maybe I should give you a few caveats, maybe a few disclaimers, so you know that I'm not your pastor. You know that he's welcomed me here, and you've given me a great welcome. I thank you for that. I've not asked him, what do you want me to say to the people? What do they need to hear? He just has simply called and asked that I would deliver a word this day. And so I do that. I also don't pretend to know you fully. I've been blessed, my wife and I, this morning and last evening, and then also last year on our way through, been blessed to meet several of you on those occasions, to feast with you within your homes, and that has been a great blessing. The fellowship and the hospitality has been overwhelming, really, and we're thankful for that. And thankful to know still yet others of you from other conferences and other gatherings together, Presbytery and the like. But I still don't pretend to know you fully, as I know my own flock, as I know them and what they may need to feast on or to eat on a particular day. But I do know the Lord, and I do know that sheep are sheep, and that we all at times are hungry. We all at times need something to eat. And so this is what I set before you, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. It's a little long for us to look at the whole thing, and we can't do justice to the whole pericope, all that I've read to you this morning. But I think that there are some things that we can pull out that hopefully will give to you opportunity for further thought, conversations this afternoon or maybe in the week ahead. Things maybe just to go to Pastor Neil and say, what was that fellow from Arkansas talking about? Or is this right? Is this not? Feel free to ask those questions and ask those amongst one another, and may the Lord bless those conversations and may He bless us as we continue to ponder upon His Word. So, as we begin, let me ask you, how many of you grew up within the church? I know not this particular church, but within the church. How many of you grown up? I grew up within the church. Okay, so now we know others. Obviously, there's some that have not grown up within the church. Some of us had that blessing. We've grown up within the church. It's just part of who we are, what we do, what we think. It's just there for us. Most of my early memories revolve around the church. They revolve around settings of Sunday school. They revolve around things that took. In fact, I've got a scar right here. Is one of my earliest memories. Just went to get a drink and came back, and in the middle of a service, I tripped headlong, about 3 years old, into the corner of a pew. And so I interrupted a sermon, had to go get some stitches. It's an early memory that I have. It's within the church. Another early memory that I have is disrupting another sermon when I gave a message that was meant for my brother, who was sitting a few rows ahead of me. I took a note to the pastor, the brother of our normal pastor, so his brother's brother's brother, who was up at the pulpit speaking, and I handed him a note that my father was using to chastise my older brother, saying, please sit down and act your age. I interrupted another sermon at that point. So if you need to interrupt me, maybe I'll be sympathetic and understand that as well. But the culture, the beliefs, the ways of the church, they run through us if we're raised within the church. They're just there. We don't even think about some of these things. We just know, oh, this is what I say. This is how I respond. This is what we do now. And so what a blessing that is to have that to some degree, just part of our DNA, who we are and how to respond and what to say in that. It just becomes second nature to us. And now, since not all hands were raised, what a blessing that is as well to know the blessing of being a convert, to know the blessing of coming into the church, coming into the faith in this way, and to have that freshness, to have that zeal, to have that blessing. It's a blessing to be within the church, whether we grew up from infancy in the church or whether we were brought into it. What we're doing now is we're all growing. We're all growing in the church. What is set before us in the passage here is that we are all to seek that blessing of being mature in the faith. As we move this week from Easter season to Ascension season, that's what's taking place on Thursday. Thursday's Ascension Day, and so we're moving from one liturgical season to another liturgical season. We're moving from those 6 weeks of celebration. The Lord's been resurrected, and we celebrate. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And we move from that joy to now, it's time, the apostle says, it's time for you to grow up. It's time for you to grow up. That's what he's writing to the church here at Ephesus. He's saying, saints of the Lord, brothers and sisters in the Lord, it's now time for us to grow up in the faith. It's now time for us to mature into this thing that the Lord has called us into. We praise Him and we find everything founded upon that resurrection. But then, as we've heard in the readings, we have the Ascension as we look to Thursday, the Ascension Day. And why did He ascend? It tells us here, the apostle does, that we might have the opportunity to, that we might be given good gifts from the Lord, that we would mature in the faith, that we would grow up in Christ. And so, whether we grew up, whether we raised our hand or not at that moment, now the call is the same for all of us, to grow up into the full stature of Christ. To be measured against Christ, to say this is the standard, this is where we're going, this is the one that we want to be like, that we are called, that this work of the Spirit that's given to us, Ascension and Pentecost, that's what the Spirit's doing now within our midst. We are all being called to grow up into Christ. And so now in the Ascension, again, marked this Thursday, May 25th, we're ushered into a time where we're called into that maturity, where we look at truly discipleship and what the Lord is calling us into. We are called to grow up in the faith. Rich Mullins had a song, I think the title is Boy Like Me, Man Like You, in which he just kind of imagines what Jesus might have or might not have been like as a young man. And the lyrics ask the question, were you in your humanity ever a boy like me? When you were a boy, were you a boy like me? Did you play? Did you laugh? What was the Lord like as a young child and in that way? But they end really with the point that Paul makes in this passage, which is that we are all called to grow up into the man that he was, that he is before us now. He came to be like us, that we may now be like him, to grow up in him. Again, we cannot do due diligence to the entirety of this passage, all 16 verses this morning. But again, I hope that a few things that I may have to say, maybe they spark some thought, they spark some conversation, and hopefully they spur you to the idea that you hear the apostle saying to you in times of temptation, grow up. In times of fear, grow up. In times of anxiety and wondering, grow up. Whether it needs to be the stern grow up of grow up. That's not what a Christian does. That's not how you act to grow up. What's a mature faith look like? You trust in Christ. He's washed you. He feeds you. Grow into him. Be mature in him. That's what the apostle's here calling us to and what he's laying before us as the work of the Spirit within us. And really, he says it's done through the gift, and he's referring to the gift Christ ascends. The Holy Spirit descends at Pentecost, and so that's the Spirit that's given to us. That's the gifts, the good gifts that are given to us. But it's interesting that he goes beyond that and he describes, and this is really what I want to give to you, and perhaps it's a justification, it's the defense of the offices. You might receive it that way. But that's really what we have here. What is the good gift that he names within the passage? The good gift that he names. He says, I have ascended. The Spirit's going to descend upon you. We have that through all of these things. But what is the good gift as we look throughout that passage? It's given to us. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. He gave us the church, and he gave us order, and he gave us the body, and he gave us one another, and he gave us this structure. He's given us good gifts, many and multiplied. But the one that he chooses to name here is the gift of the offices before us, the gift of the officers. And so he starts out with the apostles, and then he ends with shepherds, he ends with teachers, he ends with the idea of elders and teaching elders and those that would shepherd us and lead us on as well. And so as we think on what is it to mature into Christ and how do we mature into Christ, I mean, look at those first three verses. That's a lofty standard to attain to. Right? I would think of that. This is what we're being called to. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's enough to chew on for quite a while. Any one of those things. But we're called to this sort of package. And it's enough that if we look at that, we could say, how can I get there from here? Be dejected. How can I get there from here? This is the goal. And then, just to emphasize the point, he says, what I'm talking about is you growing up to be like Christ. That he's the benchmark, that he's the standard. It's his stature. And so we go from, oh, to, oh. And that's what's set before us here. And so how could we ever attain unto that? But it is the call of this Scripture. It's the call of the Lord upon us. It's the call that the apostle lays before us, saying, this is what you are called to. This is what you must do as the people of God, is to grow up into Christ. And then he says, and this is how, this is the way, this is the means. And he says, the church, through the body of Christ. And then specifically, he says, through these offices and through their ministry of equipping you and teaching you and training you and loving you and ministering to you, equipping you for every good work, equipping you for ministry to the saints, equipping you for gentleness, equipping you for long suffering, equipping you for the unity of the faith and knowledge. It's through this means, this is one of the means that he's given to us to grow up and to mature into Christ, these offices that he's set before us. So, again, for those times, perhaps when you're tempted to wonder, and maybe you don't wonder this, but you know the broader culture does, and I'm sure you have Christian friends, I'm sure you have others within the church, Catholic, that say things to you like this, like, well, why the church? Why the church? Why organized religion? No, don't want that. Of course, the first thing to do is just say, so you want disorganized religion? And That, no, what they want is they want the same thing that all sinners want, same thing that we want. We want organization with ourselves at the top. That's what we want. And so it doesn't matter if it's disorganized chaos for everyone else, as long as I'm at the top of that. That's what they're looking for, and that's all too often what we're looking for in our sin as well. But we need to think through this. What he's given to us here is he's given to us the idea of growing up in Christ by growing up in the church and through the ministry of the church and the offices that are there before us. And so this is what I set before you. They're not preferring disorganized religion, but we're looking for organization. We're looking for what he's given to us. We need the offices is what's set here before us. We need Christ to minister to us through our pastors, through our elders, through the church, through our brothers, through our sisters in Christ. We need the body around us. And here particularly, he makes this defense of the offices as he is there in prison, appointing officers, as he's there in prison, saying, yes, this is what needs to take place in this congregation and over here as he's working through in these ways. He gives to us this idea. And so let us look there. Everything that is called for in verses 1 through 3 is reiterated, or implied at least, in verses 12 through 13. The characteristics of the first few verses there are tied together to the latter then. So he starts out with that one phrase, this is the characteristics, and then he ends it again there in verses 12 through 13. And what's there in the middle? What unifies, what ties all of that together? The phrase, the unity of the Spirit, the unity of faith and of knowledge. And so, God gave these good gifts, he goes on to say. So why the church? Why the organization? Why the structures? That we may grow into Christ. That we may grow in our knowledge of him. That we may grow in our dedication to him. That we may grow in our mimicking and living after him. For our own equipping, for our own instruction, for our own unity, the apostle says. That we, the body, may be knit together and glorify our head as we attain unto his stature. Christ ascends, and on the mountain, what does he do? He gives the Great Commission. Well, who does he give that to? He gives that to the church, but he gives that to specifically, we have the officers that are there as he calls this first office. The apostles are there, and he's giving to them this commission. He ascends, and then the Spirit comes down upon them. He ascends, and Paul here says he gives us those good gifts, and again, specifically, it is verse 11, the good gifts of the offices that are laid out before us. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers, that we may be equipped, the saints may be equipped for the work of the ministry and the building up of the body of Christ. Now, some of those offices may have ceased. They have, let's not say may, they have ceased. We do not have apostles. Our congregation meets in a building. We share a building with folks that do think there are still apostles, but we question that authority. That we have the authority of the apostles still coming to us, but we do not have apostles any longer. We have the apostles and their authority because we're reading the scripture here that the apostles were gifted to give to us. We have Ephesians. We have the letters that Paul gave. We do have authority coming still, but that office is gone. And as we look through these others, there may be variances in understanding on what these exactly entail. But we must see the things laid before us as good things, structure as good, authority as good, teaching and training as good things, gifts of the very Spirit of God as given to us to feed us and to mature us into the fullness of Christ. And so some of these may have ceased, but we come down, and without, again, trying to take all that is here, we simply come down to the shepherds and the teachers there. For that's the office that's most close at hand to us, correct? We think through all that is here and all that is maintained. Shepherds and teachers. And why are they given to us? Why are they here? Because we need to be taught how to be gentle. We need to be taught how to forbear. We need to be taught and trained how to be patient with one another. We need to be reminded, pushed, shoved, dragged to the position at times where I need to be at peace with my brothers. I need to make amend with these. I've offended these. I need to go before them. We need shepherds. We need teachers. Because we don't come by that naturally. We don't come by unity within the church naturally. We don't come by patience naturally. We don't come by love for one another naturally. We are, as we have already confessed, sinners. And so we're not naturally led this way. We're not naturally humble, and we're not naturally given to forbearing with others. As we need parents to teach us vocabulary, and then they teach us what the words mean. We start out, we just, mom, and then mom. And then it becomes, well, this is what a mom is. And then dad. And then we say, we need parents to this is what a mom is. This is what a dad is. And they show us. They give us the vocabulary. And then they give us the definitions. And then they give us the examples. And we see and we learn. And the whole of our vocabulary that way. We need shepherds. We need pastors. We need the offices to come before us and to say, this is what gentleness means. This is what forbearance means. This is what sacrifice for your brothers and sisters in Christ means. I know you think that it means going this far. Well, it means going this far. And it means going that far again and again and again. It means forbearing and giving us those. So they give to us these teachers, these pastors, these elders, these shepherds, the words that are given to us here. They give to us our vocabulary. They help us with our definitions. And then they give to us the examples as good parents, even with the children. They give to us the examples by doing these things themselves, by taking us by the hands as little children and leading us on in the example. We need teachers. Paul says we need teachers. Christ our Lord, who loves us, knows we need teachers. And so what does he give us here? He ascends to his Father's right hand, and then he sends the Holy Spirit back that we may have teachers given to us. Men who have learned, men who are, as Paul says, apt to teach, men who have learned, who are learning, and who are given to the word and to the task of passing that word along. We need someone to come along beside us and to explain these concepts, to explain and to cajole and to love us into loving Christ our Lord as well. As we need those parents to teach us, so we need teachers at every level. We need teachers within the faith, within the church, to bring us forward as well. One of the hardest tasks, even for those teachers, is often the task of staying on target, of knowing my task is simply to say, follow Christ. Be faithful to Christ. Love Christ. That whatever else I may want to say in frustration, whatever else I may want to say to a straying sheep is, be faithful to Christ. Be faithful to Christ. Be faithful to Christ. What you need to hear, what I need to hear, what the sheep of God continually need to hear is be faithful to Christ. Grow up, as Paul says here, into Christ until you attain the full measure. Continue on maturing. Be faithful to Christ. It can seem repetitive, but the scriptures are repetitive. It can seem repetitive, but that's what a teacher does. That's the hard task of being the teacher, saying the same message over and over again. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Christ. His word. His calling. His strength. His salvation. Faithfulness. And so we need people who are given to the task of that repetition, continually saying in our ears, faithfulness. Along with these teachings, it says, with this teaching, it says that we also need shepherds. The Lord who loves us. The Lord who, by example of his own story, is the one who leaves the 99 and goes after the one. The Lord who knows his flock, and his flock know him. The Lord who calls us, and we know his name. He knows that we need shepherding. And so he ascends to the Father's right hand. He sends the Spirit. He gives to his church good gifts, as the apostle says here. And one of those good gifts is if we are blessed to have a shepherd in our midst, if we are to have elders around us, if we have to have those that would lead us to greener pastures? Who would, if you think of that analogy with the 23rd Psalm, we have to be led there. We have to be made to lay down beside the still waters. We need everything, just about everything given to us, even the good things we don't know how to accept unless we're taught and unless we're led there by a shepherd. And so we need these teachers. We need these shepherds. These are the good gifts that God has given to us. None of these things, again, comes naturally to us. So we need shepherds to encourage us. We need shepherds to correct us. We need shepherds to minister to us and to love us. We need diligent, faithful men. Everything here is corporate. These good gifts are given to us corporately. It's given to us within the church. It's given to us within the body of Christ is the idea here. And so as the body of Christ, we together grow up into the maturity of Christ, the body holding up the head, attaining to that stature of the head. And so we need this shepherding. We need this type of guidance. We need diligent men, faithful men, men like your own Pastor Neil, who are examples of dedication to the Lord, who are examples of the Lord's dedication to the flock, caring for, lifting burdens, hearing and receiving burdens, pointing us ever to Christ, pointing us ever to the still waters, to the green pastures. We need men like your own pastor. It encourages me that you have a man like that within your midst. And it encourages me when I talk to your deacons and your elders and I see that you have that within these men as well and know their heart for you. It's a blessing just to see that within your midst, to know that you are cared for by Christ, because I know He cares for you and loves you, but to see so evident a caring for you as His sheep, as these godly shepherds within your midst. To know their diligence in caring for you, their desire to serve you, their desire to say, be faithful and grow up in all things into Christ. One of our elders recently relocated his business, and that meant that he needed to relocate his family, and so he's no longer on our session, he's no longer in our community, but we still try to get together from time to time, and he still has business dealings within our town. And so we had lunch this week, and we were talking about the new congregation that he's a part of. And they have a new associate minister, and this minister is a former attorney. He is an attorney, but he's no longer working as an attorney. He's a minister within this church now. He was in the attorney general's office in Arkansas, and he was overseeing the rest of the lawyers within that office, so maybe about 24 lawyers. And so he had an important job. He had a lot of things going on, a lot of worries and stress and anxieties with the job. And so my friend Jeff said to him, well, what's different? Okay, I know there's a lot of things that are different, but what's the one thing that you've noticed is different from what you were doing with that type of high-level stress to where you're at now and what you're doing? And he said, well, with that, I could take off the tie and I could put my suit jacket there in the corner of the office and I could go home. And I could leave it all there. But now that I'm doing this, what I didn't realize is that I can't do that. I didn't realize how hard that would be. There's no leaving it all there. And he said, I don't say that as a complaint. He said, I say that because I really realize what is required. You can't leave it there. You shouldn't leave it there. It's the burden. It's what's carried by someone putting you up on their shoulders, someone taking and having the burden on your behalf, someone knowing and hearing what you're going through that maybe no one else knows what you're going through, someone crying with you, praying with you, holding hands, leading you onward, someone taking a good friend and saying, man, you just got to grow up. Man, you can't do this any longer. And having to say that to people that you love. It's a difficult thing. And you have a man in Pastor Neil, I'm thankful to say, I know he's faithful at doing that. And I know you have that in the rest of these, your elders and deacons as well. And I'm thankful. And what I encourage you to do as you think on this and as you discuss that, is as you see the offices as good things, what the Lord has given to you, is to say, yeah, wow. The Lord has tangibly blessed me The Lord has tangibly blessed us. He has placed within our midst tangible signs. Just as we eat bread, we drink wine, and it's up on our tongues, and we know the tangible blessings of the Lord, so you have the tangible blessing of the Lord when a shepherd comes to you, when a teacher exhorts you, when a pastor calls you out, or when a pastor calls upon you. You have tangible signs of the blessing of God upon you. And it's a cause to say, thank you, Lord, for the good gifts that you have given to me, for the good gifts that you have given to the church. And I can say these things to you directly, not knowing you, but I can say these things about Jeff and about this, the elders in the session here because of my time with them, but also with Jeff. I call upon Jeff. Jeff and Randy Booth, that if I have something that I want to know, they're the guys that I call. They've ministered to me. They've been good shepherds, good teachers, good instructors, good exhorters to me. At times they've said, "That's not what. Why would you think that?" And at times I said, "Yeah, that's exactly what you ought to be thinking." They've been a good shepherd, and your pastor, I know, as a good shepherd to me, I know that he's shown you that same diligence as well. The Lord has tangibly blessed you. We need shepherds. We need teachers. We need the good gifts of the Lord. Why? Because without this, on our own, we'd be tossed about. Without good, sound teaching, without even, there's the creed that starts here, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Without the creed, without the word, and without expanded teaching upon that, where would we be? We'd be tossed about, it says here, like little children, tossed to and fro, every wind that comes along, every time somebody says, oh, disorganized religion, that's what you want. You'd say, yeah. But you have that organization. You have the scriptures taught to you. You have the blessing of that. And so you know, no, that's not what I want. And you fool, why don't you come see what it looks like over here? Because it's pretty good to have some organization. We need these things. We need this type of encouragement. And the Lord has blessed us to give it to us so that we are not tossed to and fro, but that we may grow up, that we may mature, that we may become like Christ. We need this call from the scriptures to grow up because life is messy. It's messy and we're immature and we need to grow. Life in the church is messy. And so we need to grow into the unity of knowledge of the Lord and knowledge of His Word, as is said here. I need my fellow elders. I need the presbytery. I need the whole of the CREC. I need to glean from their collected wisdom. I need these shepherds. I need this guidance. I need this training. The corporate unity called for here, it can be an easy thing for us to lay aside and say, no, it's not of much importance, but it is vitally needed for our confidence, for our security. There's decisions that we cannot make, that we should not make alone. But within the church, within the body, within a session, there's confidence, there's blessing in that multitude of godly counsel. And in this way, the Lord is pleased to bless and to strengthen us. And so as my exhortation to you in closing, I just want to give you a few points, maybe first of clarification. Note that the authority here, I will say this, when we talk about the offices and we talk about them in this sort of way, I do want to make the clarification, perhaps, if it's needed. It's probably not needed here, but if it's needed in the sense of, yes, all authority, though, we understand, comes from Christ. All authority comes from the Scriptures. That's what we're reading here, and it's the very Scriptures that say, thank God for the offices. Thank God for the blessings that He's given to you. Thank God for the organization of the church. But the authority is coming from Christ, the Great Shepherd. The authority is coming from the Word that is here before us. And then, again, to give you the exhortation, and finally, why is this? Why has He given us elders, deacons, teachers, officers? Because we need them. We need them. We need to hear from them. We need to learn from them. We need to be brought along by them. And why does He do this? Because He loves us, and He desires that we would be brought to the full stature of Christ. And so my exhortation is to, as I know that you already do, appreciate those that God has given to you in this way. Submit to them as God has called you in this way. Honor them as God has called you in this way. And so appreciate and submit and honor Christ, the Great Shepherd, who has given to you these good gifts. And then to think as well, whatever office you have. It's a husband. It's a wife. It's a child. As a friend, as a brother, as a sister in Christ, you have offices. You have goals that you ought to be attaining unto, and your call ever and always for those around you, where you are and what you're being equipped for, is to equip still yet others and to encourage still yet others, and to say, as the elders are to say to us here, as the apostle says to us here, grow up. Grow up. Grow up. In whatever way they need to hear that. That Rich Mullins song, the lyrics are, did they tell you stories about the saints of old, stories about their faith? They say stories like that make a boy grow bold. Stories like that make a man walk straight. You was a boy like I was once, but was you a boy like me? I grew up in Indiana, you grew up around Galilee. And if I ever really do grow up, Lord, I want to grow up to be just like you. And I like that, but I like even more what the apostle says, because he says it a lot more directly. Grow up into the full maturity, the stature of Christ. Amen. O Lord our God, we thank you for the blessing of being able to look into your word. We thank you for the gift given to us in your Son. We thank you for the life that he lived. We thank you for the death that he died. We thank you for his resurrection. And even as we move from one season to another, we thank you now for his ascension. And we thank you that a reason given to us here for that ascension is that he would give to us good gifts. And so we thank you for the good gifts of leading us on, spurring us on to full maturity into Christ through the body of Christ. Thank you for those that shepherd us. Thank you for those that teach us. Thank you for those that cajole and exhort us. Thank you for those that love us and nurture us. Thank you for those that hold our hands, and thank you for those that come behind us and push us. Thank you for all of those that call us to faithfulness to Christ our Lord. And may it be that together we would grow into the full stature and maturity of Christ our Lord. Amen.